Get ready for July 4th with early savings at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on South High Street in Columbus.
Wake up, it's Wednesday, feel the morning light. The world's a bit different, something feels just right. Coffee's brewing strong and the day's brand new. Weird Wednesday, wake up, here's a song for you. From the dawn's early rise to the evening's glow, we dance to the rhythm, let the good times flow. In the heart of the country where the wild winds blow, Weird Wednesday, wake up, let your spirit show. Weird Wednesday, wake up, start your day with a smile. Strum that banjo softly, let's enjoy for a while. Embrace the morning, let your heart take flight. Weird Wednesday, wake up, everything's alright.
Welcome to Weird Wednesday, friends. I am your host, Tony Merkel. Thanks for being here on your hump day, trying to get through your week. You're not the only one. We're all in the same boat, friends. So thank you very much for being here on Weird Wednesday. And today's a little bit different of a weird Wednesday because, well, craziness ensued last week and we're still trying to grapple with what exactly happened here in East Tennessee and in North Carolina. Friends, I will tell you, we are actively trying to help these people in North Carolina and in East Tennessee. Communities were decimated. I don't think anybody truly knows the extent of how bad this really is. We're getting word from locals as to, you know, what they're seeing and experiencing. But for the most part, we are trying to piece it together as we go. So what I want to do today is just focus in on this hurricane that came through and talk about what I know. I'm going to be joined by my buddy Brian here in a little bit. He and I took a trip out east a little bit this, actually just yesterday, to see what was going on out there. And it wasn't pretty. It wasn't pretty at all. Last week on Friday, I had to cancel the live after dark because of the storm that was coming through. And it actually didn't hit our part of East Tennessee nearly as bad. We got wind and rain. Trees went down, but trees always go down here in East Tennessee whenever it storms. I think it's a combination of an old area with a lot of hills. And when it storms and the ground gets saturated, these trees tend to fall over. Just from my experience of living here for the last almost 3 years now, I noticed that here in East Tennessee, whenever there's a storm that goes through, there's always down trees more than I've experienced up north in Pennsylvania. But I thought we were dodging a bullet because, you know, as the day unfolded, I was thinking, oh, this actually isn't as bad as it was earlier and it's clearing up and we're going to be good. We're going to be good. I saw on the radar that it seemed like the storm split at one point, and not into two separate storms, but there was a wing of the rain and storm that kind of went out towards Nashville area. And then there was like a wing and an edge of the storm that cut out to the east to Eastern Tennessee, North Carolina. And we were right in that fork where the Knoxville area. And so we actually were not hit terribly at all. And I thank you for everybody who has been emailing, commenting, DMing, asking if I'm okay, commenting, saying, thank God I saw you post, I know you're okay. That is something that was not expected, much appreciated. I am okay. And it also was sobering and put things in perspective. I am somebody who tends to feel like if I were to disappear off the map, you guys wouldn't miss me a whole lot. You might miss the show for a little bit, but I think at the end of the day, you'd find new shows and I would be a distant memory. So the fact that you guys hit me up so much asking if we're okay. My wife told me that the Confessionals members app was jammed with a lot of people asking, you know, am I okay? So I am okay. I'm here live. This is not a hologram. We definitely did not get hit as bad where I'm at. And we heard rumblings of what was going on out east. And we knew it was bad. We didn't really know how bad. And you start getting some videos and pictures coming in. Over the weekend, you're getting information. And for me personally, it wasn't until I'd say midday to late afternoon Monday is when I really started getting a scope. I'm like, okay, this is bad, bad. Like, this is not good. The videos that were coming in, the one that has that hit me the most, that really kind of is like, yo, this is not good. I remember, and I don't know if this was Tennessee or North Carolina, but I remember seeing a video of somebody standing like on their porch, and you see the grass. There's no flooding anywhere. And all of a sudden, they must have been filming because they heard the water coming. And all of a sudden you see this, it's not a trickle. It wasn't like, oh, this thing is moving pretty quickly. It was a rushing, raging river shooting at them. And I started thinking how many people out there didn't survive to upload their videos. And that's when it started hitting me. I was like, this is not good. And I was actually planning to go out there on Tuesday alone. And then my buddy Brian texts me in the morning and he said, well, actually it was off topic because Brian found he found a dog man print on Monday, I think it was, or Sunday. He was live and the print was larger than what we uncovered late last year, which that print was probably like the size of my hand. So, he was live and he found that print and he sent me a text about it on Tuesday morning and we connected and we started talking and he was actually going out there too to check things out. And I said, well, let's go together. So I drove out there, I met up with him and we brought our e-bikes, which I'll tell you, friends, the e-bike thing is huge in these kind of situations. You can really get around. So for people who are in the minds of prepping, consider the purchase of an e-bike and just have it charged and ready to rock in case you need it, in case of emergencies. I would suggest also getting some kind of solar generator. That way you're mobile and you have a way to stay mobile. But it is something that I saw while we were out in Newport, Tennessee, as something that was very beneficial and handy. And I'm going to be bringing Brian on here in a few minutes to talk about this with me. We're going to go through some pictures here on X that I want to show you all before I bring Brian on. And before we do that, I want to let you guys know that I am working on organizing a way to inform the public that listens to the show on a weekly basis on how they can help. We're going to talk about the response by the government today. They have responded. I found out that they have responded, at least the state government. But it is still a very underwhelming response. And some of that I don't believe is their fault in the sense that this is such a widespread event. This is something that has, I believe, surpassed Katrina. In Katrina, we had a city that was underwater. Think Katrina, but spread out over a much greater area, many more towns, and possibly a lot more deaths. I don't think we quite understand how many people might have died from this. So that said, I want to do what I can with what I can with helping people. And so what I plan on doing, and maybe this will, I'll have a better way to do this later, but what I plan on doing is creating a page on my website that will list churches and organizations that are bringing or allowing people to send them goods and supplies to distribute to the communities. I mentioned Newport earlier. There's Greenville. There's Hampton. Hampton, Tennessee was just demolished. Just demolished. I think Hampton, Tennessee is right there where the dam broke, I think. I'm not sure exactly where the dam is located, but when I was looking at Hampton on the map, there is a huge lake right there. And if that's the dam that broke, Hampton was just demolished. And I saw a government response in Hampton today. I think it was state because the governor was there as well. But what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be creating this webpage, and I'm just going to start listing places. I have one place that is confirmed. It's scrolling on the bottom of the screen now. This is a place that my pastor knows the operator of it, and they have confirmed to him today to relay to me that yes, they are. In fact, I'll read this to you. He says, "Yes, I just heard from Pam, the executive director at New Hope Center, and they can handle the donations. They are centrally located and have relationships with many churches in the area, and she will distribute through those churches as donations are received." So this Hope Center is well connected with several churches in the area, and there's a lot of churches in the area that are setting themselves up as distribution centers. I called several churches today and left voicemails or voice memos with them. I didn't expect them to answer because they are distributing goods right now, so their hands are full, but I left them a voicemail. Hopefully they call back and I can kind of start just adding to the list. And so as I get more places that you can send goods and supplies to, I will post it on the website so that you guys can have a running list. That link will be in the descriptions of episodes. This is something that is going to take weeks, months, and probably years for some of these communities to bounce back. Some of them I don't believe will. I think some towns quite literally were wiped off the map, and these were not the Beverly Hills of Tennessee. These are the hills of Tennessee that don't have a ton of income to begin with. And so something like this is just devastating. I'm going to do a share screen here. Like I said, on the bottom of the screen is it's one location right now. Please, if you feel inclined to donate, to help, that is where you want to send goods to. So if you want to go on Amazon or a food service website or something and put an order in and have it shipped there, I greatly encourage you to do that. The phone number there as well. So if you want further clarification, you can call them yourself and get that clarification that you desire so that you know where to send things, how to address it, things like that. But it is scrolling here, one location, hopefully many more to come. And now, so I'm going to share my screen here, and we're going to do this one first. And let me refresh it here to see if there's updated images. There are. Okay, so my goal right now is not to have anything prepared for entertainment purposes, but rather just to discuss and go over what we are seeing. I'm going to show you videos and we're going to show you pictures. So if anybody who has not had any great picture as to what's going on, you'll get a drift here. These are, this is Newport, Tennessee. This post here, it says, East Tennessee is being pounded by flooding. This was on the 27th. Dam broke in Newport, Tennessee. Churches and homes in three counties, two bridges in Greene County, and the interstate across the mountain in North Carolina. Pray for these people. So this is an old post, but we're going to play some of these videos right now for you. Oh, yeah.
This is Irwin, Tennessee. Water just rushing through. As you can see, it's pouring out the windows of the church. Elizabethtown, Tennessee.
We're going to open the app. We have to, guys.
This is a sky view. This is a bridge being taken out. There was lots of bridges and roads taken out. There are people literally stranded on this. And so here's another video. That's a building just going down the river. Buildings were literally upended. There was a post earlier that I saw that I wanted to share, and I'm not seeing it now, but it gave a real good image as to how bad this was. I believe this is I-40. Yeah, I'm pretty sure this is I-40. This is the road. I-40 is the road that you're going to be taking from Knoxville to Charlotte. If you're going to Charlotte or something, literally you can't drive parts of I-40 because it was washed away. And I don't know how long it's going to take for that to get built back. I'm not saying it's impossible. Clearly engineers are a real thing and it's going to get fixed, but I don't know how long it's going to take because there's so much widespread destruction and devastation that you're going to fix roads. And I think that's probably gonna be the first thing you're going to be looking to fix so you can get the infrastructure built up so that you can fix and have get supplies in. Hopefully this strike doesn't affect this too much that we're having with the ports, because that's something I was thinking about as well. But you can see here how this river was just taking out the highway. And like I said earlier, this is such a widespread event. This devastating. Here's a video that I was talking about earlier. This is the video that shows just the river coming in. Look how fast that's coming in. I mean, when I was watching this video, I was stunned at how fast it came in. You literally see grass, and then it's just a raging river. How many people didn't survive that? How many people were out there not knowing what was about to happen and were swept away? I've seen video. Here's a video right here of people being swept away in Irwin, Tennessee, and they were throwing, looks like, ratchet straps out to them to bring them into the water. These people were just swimming in the water trying to find their way back to the land. How many people didn't survive that? I mean, we have here in East Tennessee in Newport, we were told yesterday, I'm going to bring Brian on here in a second. We were told that on the other side of the Pigeon River, the houses on that side were covered in water. It wasn't just the first floor flooded. The houses were covered in water. How many people didn't know that was coming that fast, what you just saw, and they didn't make it out of their home? They didn't get to their car to drive to safety. There are people who listen to the show who are deeply entrenched in the Bigfoot research community. There's a young man who has been making himself very known and aware to the world because he has been jumping into research. He's 24 years old and he's uncovered some really interesting things. I had him in the studio a few weeks ago. His name's Harley Owens. Harley Owens is from Newport, Tennessee. That's where him, his wife, and his kids live. I will tell you, just so you know, Harley Owens is alive and well. They got out fast enough. They were in Middle Tennessee, and I believe tomorrow him and his wife are coming back to Newport to start the rebuilding process. But they got word that their house survived the flood And so I believe they're leaving their kids with her parents, and they're going to come back to Newport to help rebuild. So this is something that's going to be taking a long, long, long time. Look at this. This is a tractor trailer driver in his truck. Listen, there have been tractor trailers swept away in this. This is how powerful the storm is. I'm going to mute the audio on that so that you can just watch this. But to give you perspective, I've said this before on the show. I think I have. I'll tell you a story of something that I experienced in my truck to kind of give you perspective with that tractor trailer and these tractor trailers being swept away. I was sitting in a tractor trailer. I was on my lunch break, and I was talking to my wife on the phone, and we were just talking about whatever. And there was a storm that was coming through. And so, you know, I just loaded up a load of nickel on my trailer, and I had about, I want to say it was like 40. Let's put it this way. It was like 40 to 70,000 pounds of metal on my truck. Very, very, very heavy. And I was sitting outside the place I picked up on my lunch break, and I was talking to my wife, and the storm starts getting heavier and heavier. And it gets to the point where I'm sitting in my tractor trailer with all that weight, and my truck starts doing this. I'm swaying, I'm weaving side to side. I literally feel myself shaking. And I told my wife, I think I got to hang up. And I buckled up while I was just sitting there still, because I didn't know what was going on. I found out later that I sat through a tornado that came through. Now, that is with all that weight. This truck that you saw sitting there, I don't know what happened to it, but we saw other trucks getting swept away by these rivers. This was something that came through to different buildings that had tractor trailers sitting in their lots, and everything stacked up on top of each other. Just not a good situation at all. So, all right, I stopped sharing. I'm going to play this one other video, and then we're going to bring on Brian. And this will be a video to prime any kind of open discussion Brian and I have. Friends, if you want to pop in and contribute to the conversation, you can. The link on is in the description for Rumble, YouTube, and Facebook. The link is in the description for all those locations. So if you're watching on any of those platforms, you can hit the link and contribute to the conversation. We can talk about whatever you'd like with this. We're going to keep it on topic, and you can venture your own thoughts and opinions. I've heard people talk about the idea that this was manufactured. I've seen the same satellite images that you've seen, and the idea that this was intentional for the properties that were out there and soon to be mining. Feel free to discuss that if you'd like. I'm not looking to diminish what actually happened. Okay. There are people who actually lost their lives, lost their homes, lost family members. And I'm not looking to turn this into a discussion about what could have happened when we know what did happen. But you can feel free to bring it up if you'd like. Let's share this screen one more time. Nope, that's the wrong one. There we go. All right, so this lady here has a video talking about the lack of response. And now I told you, I have seen now that they have been responding, but there is something here that even if there are responses now, I don't like. So let's listen to this.
Well, you're going to have to just excuse my appearance because we have no power. We have no running water, but I'm just so pissed off that I've got to make this clear. We got a notification from TEMA. I'm guessing that's FEMA for Tennessee. I'm not exactly sure. I think it's supposed to be the disaster relief people, but they were like, do not donate your time. We don't want you to donate time unless we ask for you. And we don't want you to donate stuff to other people. You need to just donate money and stuff to us and get your instructions from us and listen to us. What? And then you say, they said yesterday, we don't go into areas that the roads are not easily accessible. What? You are the disaster relief people. Like, that is your job, to go into the areas that are hit by disaster and provide relief, not to just go to the easy area and sit and wait for the people that are in the disaster area to be able to come to you. The roads that we do have were cleared by the locals, and you have to have trucks and stuff to be able to get through there. Like, it's just beyond me. So, and you have us all messed up. If you think you're going to come here and bark orders at us and then expect the people just to give you the money and us trust that you're going to try to take care of us when you don't go into areas that are not easily accessible. What? Like, this is Cock County, girl. So donate to our local churches, because they will make sure that the people that are need it will get it. And you need to just, while we appreciate what help you're trying to provide, I don't think you understood the assignment, because it's not to just go to one location in hopes that the people in the disaster area can make it to you. So just sit back and watch, and we'll show you how it's done, but we're not going to stop. So please, and thank you.
So I think that what you're seeing there is a lot of frustration, obviously, and you're going to see more of that if things don't shape up real quick. It's only a matter of time. Like right now, Brian and I, we're out there, and we'll discuss what we experienced yesterday, but people are coming together. The community is coming together, working together. That's a great story. But when supplies get low and desperation sits in, people's attitudes change. That's why it's very important that you can donate. If you can donate, that you do donate. Like I said, the Hope Center is scrolling on the bottom of the screen, and it's in the description of this episode. Please donate if you can. I will tell you the address right now for any audio listeners who want to contribute. Hope Center, 314 Tusculum, Tusculum Boulevard, Greenville, Tennessee, 37745 is the zip code. And their phone number is 423-638-5433. And they have said that they will take your donations and distribute them to churches they're already working with throughout the area. This is a place that's not going to be specific to one town like Greenville. It will be spread throughout, from what I understand. But if you have questions, feel free to call them. I'm going to be making a list as time goes on. But these communities are hurting. There are, from what I hear, hundreds of towns that are hurting. And Yeah. Their spirits are high right now, but what you saw with her at the end of that video is something that I think you'll see in mass if things don't change soon. And we're just getting a little bit of a taste as to how bad things can get and how quick things can turn if we're not expecting something. So take this event and project the idea of an EMP, societal collapse, not just in a region, but nationally. How fast will people turn on each other? It's very important that you take these lessons and learn from them and prepare as much as you can so that you're not caught at the end of the day with your proverbial pants down. So with that said, I want to bring on Brian and have a chat with him so you guys can hear from Brian, who is a local to this community. And he's been born and raised in East Tennessee. He's been on the show a couple times. And Brian, man, how you doing, dude?
Doing good, man. How you doing?
I'm good.
I'm struggling a little bit, but you know.
What are you struggling with?
My stomach, and been nauseous all day, and yeah. I don't know what's going on.
Tell the people about that. I mean, it might be from something you ate yesterday in Newport.
So obviously yesterday we spent the majority of the day on out in Newport, kind of cruising around town. And this is something that I didn't really think about at the time, but we had gone into this shop, and I love apples. It's like one of my favorite foods. There was a lady in there selling some apples. And I had picked one up and ate it. As we were walking outside, I think this is where it may have happened. I don't think that she was selling tainted apples. But as we were walking outside, I dropped my apple on the ground as I was getting on the bike. You remember this,
yeah.
Tony?
Yep.
And you take a bite out of it? Like, oh, fuck. Like 5 second rule. I reached down, grabbed the apple, picked it up, ate the apple. At the time, felt totally fine. But now looking back, there was a water truck just outside spraying down the roads that were covered in who knows what, mud, probably sewage. It was something that I just didn't think about at the time. And I'm kind of paying for it today. I woke up and I just like extreme brain fog, like my stomach's been cramping. So it really kind of puts things into perspective, you know, how devastating this really could be for the locals there, because there's no getting around that. I mean, this material that was on the ground is everywhere, on the walls of all the buildings, throughout, we went to that one place that where the guy said that underneath the entire building where he kept all his tools were flooded. So, you know, I would imagine there's going to be a lot of contamination in the area, but for some reason, the news is not getting this information out to the people, even to the locals there. I don't understand what's really happening there, because, you know, I've lived in Tennessee all my life. Like, when tragedies like this happen, and I honestly can't remember of a situation this bad that has happened in Tennessee. It's probably about a decade ago, we did have a really bad hailstorm that came through that was pretty devastating. The majority of vehicles, people's roofs, there was just so much devastation from this hailstorm. But overall, the community and the government and the insurance companies, they all came together really quickly and really resolved the problem. You know, they were putting out the information about, you know, things to avoid with this situation. But, you know, we're just not seeing that for some reason with these storms. And I don't know if it's a local government problem, but for me, as being a Republican, you know, this in my mind is the purpose of the federal government. In situations like this, this is where the federal government steps in and makes sure that everybody is provided for and things are taken out, you know, taken care of immediately. But, you know, it's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, it does feel like, they're not really worried about the rednecks in East Tennessee, you know, like it's
strange, man.
It makes you feel like that. I did see, like I said earlier, I did see there was pictures of, Governor Bill Lee in Hampton. I think it's called Hampton. I keep wanting to say Hamilton, but I think it's Hampton, Tennessee. And man, like the images from that, like the roads were just like caked in feet of mud. And so like the dig out from that is going to be extensive and long. And then once you dig that out, like it's not like snow plowing. They're going to wind up jacking up the roads and having to repave roads. And all of that. I mean, like, I don't know how long this is going to take to recover from, but for them, like the lady said in that video, for them to tell people if they're not part of an official like rescue and help operation to be hands off, I think that I get the sense that they're like, that you might just get in our way kind of thing, but you're not doing anything. Like she was like, where I'm at least, like they're not doing anything. So you just want us to sit here and waste away?
Like it doesn't make sense. Like I think that
it doesn't make sense at all. And that's not the culture of Tennessee either. I mean, we're literally the volunteer state. Like that's what we are known for. And for some sort of public official to come on and say something like that to me is just
it's suspicious.
Un-Tennessean. Yeah, it's suspicious. It's un-Tennessean. And you know, I understand to a small amount, like where they're talking about who, be careful about who you are donating to. And this is a conversation that me and you had, you know, we were very concerned about, you know, the possibility of fraud coming up and people opening up these accounts that, you know, are just looking to take advantage of the situation, you know? So, you know, I kind of understand that part of it. But now I'm seeing, I saw this morning, they're starting to have a major issue with looting.
Yeah.
The sheriff had come out and said that, you know, if you are going outside to, you know, make sure that, you know, you've got your sidearm and your safety is off, which is, you know, pretty wild. So I would imagine.
The sheriff said that?
Yeah, the sheriff said that. And well, that was in North Carolina, but yeah.
Just different side of the hill.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I know that there was 8 guys that were illegal immigrants that were looting and got arrested. And I think that you're going to see more of that if things don't get, like, you're not going to fix this thing right now. Like it's going to take time, but there needs to be a structure that's put in place, and I don't want to say it needs to, but like it really should be coming from a higher structured organization that can come in and just provide the structure. Okay, guys, here's what we're going to do. This, and here's the plan. And that will help prevent people from looting. Cause I really think that when people get desperate, that's when looting happens. When you got babies to feed, when you got children to feed and you have no other options, like you're going to take from somebody who has, so you can provide for yours.
Absolutely.
It's one of the things that took me here to Tennessee is because when I was living up in the Philly area, I wanted to get chickens and I wanted to start growing my food, but I had a half an acre in an old neighborhood right outside of Philadelphia. And I was like, if things hit the fan ever, like all this is gone. People are just going to take it from me. And I was just like, I want to be somewhere where I people are all kind of on the same page, seeing what's going on, you know, out here. It was really encouraging to see people, you know, have the reaction they did. The people we were talking to at the storefront, you know, they were like, we're coming together. We're helping each other. They're giving a lot of honor and glory to God for their survival. But they themselves were like, we haven't seen any help come in outside of what we're doing ourselves.
No, dude, that was really kind of shocking to me. You know, we were on the Z-bikes and we covered some ground.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see one FEMA truck. I didn't see one uniform. I saw some state troopers directing traffic, you know, to the community-based like supply areas, you know, and those were all like locals running that were, you know, distributing water. And, you know, in Knoxville, you know, when I had to go to the VA again this morning, and I saw a group of locals again. Everybody had their trucks and trailers filled up. You know, they had all met in one place and they were heading somewhere, but it was all the people of Tennessee, no government intervention at all. And what really scares me, and something that a lot of people aren't, may not be aware of this, but Tennessee is essentially all like limestone. The ground here is clay. It's all clay. And when clay is broken down, it goes into this really, really, really fine silt. And when we have a situation like this with this massive flooding, there are caves all throughout, you know, East Tennessee, that now I think have been exposed to this water. So now I think we are going to start having issues with sinkholes, with this silt that was pushed through, you know, the majority of all of these buildings. I think it's going to cause major foundation issues. You know, once you get that stuff in there, it's really hard to get out, and it's really hard to manage. You know, my family, we had a condo that was up on this hill, and after that hailstorm, when there was a lot of rain, the foundation of the condo shifted, and it was pretty much unrepairable. Like there was no way to make the adjustments needed because of the way that the ground is here in Tennessee. So, you know, this is another issue that, you know, I don't see anybody talking about. You know, I think that we need to be having some engineers coming out to these areas to, you know, to examine the standing buildings that, you know, they were hit, yes, and survived, you know, luckily the flood, but I think that we're going to have some catastrophic problems moving forward that's just not even being mentioned.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. I was looking at the houses that were still standing and stuff. I was like, even though they're still standing, I mean, who's living in them? I mean, water was going up to the second floor, like the mold issues you're going to have. And I just, yeah. You know, I don't think any of us can really have a good scope as to how long and how bad this is going to be. But I didn't even think about the hollow land that we live on and how that can play a role into this. You know, I think we have an example of government response to this kind of stuff in recent history, because it wasn't that long ago that Hawaii burned to the ground, essentially. And the response from that was abysmal. And so it doesn't surprise me.
To this day.
One second. Come here, Gemma. My daughter's here. I'm watching my daughter. And so... I hope she's okay. Give me one second, Brian. Hold it down for me.
Yeah. All right, cool. All right, y'all. So, you know, the overall, like the response that we are seeing, I think from the federal government and really even with the Tennessee government is disappointing. Yeah. You know, whether or not they are bringing in supplies or not, there needs to be a presence there. In my opinion, the National Guard should have been deployed. We should have been seeing these trucks, these uniforms in these areas. You know, even if they're not doing anything at that current moment, their presence there is what makes a huge difference in the communities, whether, you know, them feeling like they have either been left to fend for themselves or be confident in, you know, the government that's supposed to be helping them.
Yeah, no, I agree. So Greenville, we talked to the people in Newport, and they said that they turned the water off out there because of the toxic levels. But this may not be, again, friends, you have to understand that there is, my daughter's being loud, but you have to understand that there is information we have, but we don't know how accurate it is on certain levels. And so, but from what I heard as of yesterday, I believe it was Greenville, their water station, the valves didn't get turned off as much as the station was wiped out. Like it was just gone, washed away or demolished to the point that it's unrepairable. And so we don't know how long it's going to be till Greenville gets water and how many other towns of all these towns in the mountains that have the same story or similar stories. And again, that's why I want to bring up to the audience and the listeners right now, if you feel inclined to help, please send goods and supplies to Hope Center in Greenville, Tennessee. The link, the address and their phone number is in the description of this episode. In the video, it's scrolling right now at the bottom of your screen. If you feel inclined to help, please call them, ask them, don't take my word for it. Just give them a call and ask them, are you taking supplies? How can I help you? How can I send stuff? Do you prefer, I don't know if they're taking donations monetarily. I think they prefer just supplies right now. Water is a huge thing. The more water, the better at this point. Baby supplies, diapers, wipes, baby formula. These are all things that these people need. And there is traffic. Okay. So people have to understand, like when I went up there, I wasn't sure if we were going to get into Newport, how things were looking, but right. We were able to get into Newport. There was traffic. We saw tractor trailers going through Newport. So they are shipping. They just can't hit certain areas because the roads are washed away. If I'm promoting a place to send supplies to, it's because it's been verified that they are taking supplies and they are able to distribute those supplies. And so this is thousands. I mean, like what we were hearing yesterday, Brian, I don't know if it was you that told me, but somebody told me that there's rumors at least. But like I said, we don't have tons of information at this point, but there are rumors that there could be up to 10,000 people missing right now or dead.
Yeah.
I mean, like that's insane. That's insane. And mm-hmm. so there's a lot of rescue efforts that are going to be coming from this alongside of the Build Back. Oh my gosh, I almost said Build Back Better. I did now. So, there's going to be a lot of that kind of stuff going on. And I had this like ominous feeling yesterday when we were out there, you and I, you more than me right now. Hopefully that changes in the future, but like we go out in the woods, right? And we're hunting monsters and doing crazy stuff. People up there, how many people up there are going to go into the woods 2 years from now and still be coming across dead bodies? I mean, like that's the level that we're concerned about right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Because we're seeing, I found it pretty damning. Initially, like the day before yesterday, they were reporting the deaths at like six people. Today, I heard on the news that it's jumped to 166 people. They are just the news is slowly getting there. But for some reason, I don't understand it. I don't understand it like at all. The fact that, we didn't, the overall presence of the media, there should have been media there in Newport. Newport's a pretty well-known city.
We got in.
East Tennessee. Yeah. And there's just no presence there. It's like the locals have just been left to fend for themselves. And, if Governor Lee's the one that needs to be held accountable, then he needs to be held accountable. I mean, all of these public officials, in my opinion, need to be boots on the ground there, going to each community every single day, talking to people, figuring out what they need, because I felt like I did have some reassurance there when we spoke to those people from Po' Boys. They were very inspirational with the way that they were carrying themselves. They understood that there was complete devastation, but they were still very they weren't turning away from God. In that moment, for me, that was very inspiring. I think that's what the community needs is that stability there. And we were lucky enough to be able to see that, as opposed to just people with their hearts broken and, you know, in complete loss of what to do.
Yeah. Well, I'm planning on making this a long-term effort on my end. I don't think this is the last time people are going to hear me promoting helping the area. This is something that I plan on having, like I said, a running page on my website where people can send supplies to. And the support is going to change over time. Right now, they need supplies. They need, you know, the formulas, the baby supplies, the water. They need that right now. 2 years from now, I think the communities are still going to be reeling, but maybe the support will change. We won't be sending water, but maybe I'll be posting a link to sign up to be part of a building effort. You know, I was talking to my pastor this morning about it. I said, you know, once the things simmer down, the structure is put in place and the rebuilding starts, we should be probably doing some kind of missions work in our own community right here, you know, getting people together and volunteering to go up and, you know, put nails in buildings and put up walls and roofs and just whatever we can find our hands to do, we need to do it. And I think that we're going to see that not just from churches in that area, you know, because we live about 45 minutes to an hour west of the devastation. But the people out here, that's our community too. We love those people just the same.
Oh yeah.
And so, you know, I think that I'll probably be, you know, posting things like that for people to help, you know, and it'd be really cool. And this is way too early to even plan or really talk about as a factual thing to be done, but it might be, it's not past the possibility that maybe I find a way to have, there's some kind of rebuilding effort, you know, 6 months from now or a year from now that I'm able to put out and do the signups. And we, as a community from the confessionals, get together to go and help rebuild an area. I don't know, but I'm going to be keeping my ear to the ground as options, come up to the surface and do what I can to help rebuild. I think right now it's just to talk about it, you know, because nobody else is apparently. It's crazy, man.
Yeah, I don't understand it. I don't understand it because, I mean, just look at like, and this is what is a big concern for me as based on what's happened in the past, but like, look at Flint, Michigan. To this day, they don't have drinking water. Like, what? Like, and now we have these mountain communities in East Tennessee. Yes, you know, they do have wells, you know, they have springs that they would be able to tap. And I think maybe that's just kind of gave me an idea.
What?
Maybe we could. Well, the one good thing about East Tennessee is we do have a lot of natural springs there. You know, the probably existing ones, they may still be functioning, or, you know, they may be damaged. But maybe an effort could be led to either repair, those wells that they already have or create new ones, to be able to provide more water to that area. It's like safe drinking water because, you know, it, coming out of the ground, it would be safe. But I don't know, just kind of an idea. It just popped in my head. Yeah. So.
No, well, I mean, there's gonna be a lot of ideas banged around and stuff. And, I think this is going to be, it could be a bonding experience for a lot of people in this area. It's going to have to be. And the more we can help on the front end, the more they can bond, the people who have been directly affected can bond on the back end. So if we're not helping and we're not helping supply them with things, the bonding doesn't happen because now everybody's eating at each other. And so we want to prevent that as much as possible. At least that's my experience just from where I hail from, you know, before I moved here. I don't want to get to a point where people are faced with the decisions to, you know, turn on their neighbor for the benefit of their own tribe, of their family. I can't say I would do any different, to be honest with you. If I was in a situation where it was either, you know, you have food and my kids starve to death, or I take what you have, I don't know. That's humanitarian things that we hope we never have to cross. But let's help East Tennessee, North Carolina, and help them prevent getting to that point by helping to share what you have, goods and services. Like I said, I'll say it again. New Hope in Greenville, Tennessee is taking supplies and goods, and they're distributing them to churches in the area. They have a network that they're able to utilize. And so they are sending it out to different churches. They have given me specifically the green light to announce to the world that they will take your donations. And so hopefully there's more places than just that, but it is a start. Greenville was affected greatly. I told you a little bit ago about their water station. So you send water supplies to Greenville, it'll go to Greenville people and people in surrounding areas because they're all in the same boat. They all need water. They all need it. So
yeah, for sure. I'm trying to get out. I wanted to go out today to Del Rio, but I just wasn't feeling that great. I might still go later today, but there's another community called Del Rio, just outside of Newport, where a lot of people don't realize like how important that community is. For example, like the show Moonshiners, that is where those guys are from. So, you know, for people to kind of make a connection to be able to see what that community was like prior to this devastation. I mean, they talked about that a lot on the show, on how the community would come together to help each other. And here this community is now that is completely devastated and they need our help. So it's important for us to get involved in these situations. I think if nothing else, talk about it as much as we can. And, you know,
I agree. So I agree, man. I will be accompanying you as much as I can, on these, trips. I will be doing what I can to move my schedule around to do it. And also juggle everything else and keep everything afloat. You know, the people need their episodes. So, I know you shot footage yesterday of our trip out there. Maybe I'm not saying it's going to happen, but maybe we can do some kind of joint collaboration on the broadcast of that so that people can see it. And, it's just another opportunity to maximize the reach and point people in a direction to help. So
I'm really trying to get I'm trying to get that edited and put together and out as soon as I can.
Yeah,
you know, I think it's more important to get those images out there first. You know, and then we can, you know, as soon as I get it done, I might have it done a little bit later today. You know, I'll talk to you off camera and we'll try to figure out the best way to do it. You know,
yeah.
So
sounds good, man.
Yeah,
sounds good. Well, listen, I'm going to let you go and I'm going to start bringing this in for a landing.
Cool.
I think this went well because I didn't want to get all ragey. I was getting kind of grumpy about a lot of this stuff as I was getting more information, and I didn't want to come on here and yell and be all attitude. So I think we did a good job. I think we did a good job just kind of talking about it and just being honest and real with people. Hopefully they have a clear picture. So, Brian, thanks so much for joining me.
Absolutely.
All right, man. See ya.
See ya.
That was Brian from Black Mass Paranormal. You can go ahead and follow him on YouTube. He is going to be going out to these areas. He definitely will be doing it more than I will be. In the sense that, you know, his job is to YouTube and create videos. So he'll probably shelf a lot of his exploring the woods for portals and dogmen and Bigfoot and probably shift into a lot of this kind of stuff, putting out this kind of content. So I highly recommend you guys go ahead and follow Black Mass Paranormal on YouTube. So when he puts out videos showing what he's uncovering, you can be in the loop, and you can expect to see me in some of those videos as well when I get a chance to go out with them and all that stuff. But guys, this is one of the wildest things I've lived through, and I don't even know the scope of it yet. When I was
when Lindsay and I had just started dating, I think it was our first summer dating. So we were probably 18 years old ish. There was a dam that broke open in Pennsylvania and flooded right where my parents' house is. And houses were destroyed. The river rose up to my parents' house, but it came up within feet of my parents' house, and my parents' house was spared. Other people weren't so lucky. And I remember seeing that. But the difference was it was a slow thing. The dam didn't actually break open. I think they opened up the dam so that it wouldn't break open. So they did a control release of it. So it wasn't the water just came rushing in. It rose gradually. I remember I was working third shift at a factory that night, and I drove home, and I drove through this really big puddle at a spot that I've never drove through a puddle before. I couldn't see though. It was dark. And that was the next morning I realized, okay, that was the river raising. Cause holy crap, we're blocked in. We couldn't get out. What I'm seeing is a million times worse than that, a million times worse. And I just hope people listening right now, watching this on YouTube, we're live on YouTube, Rumble, X, Instagram, and Facebook for these weird Wednesday wake-ups. I hope you people listening and watching maybe get a scope as to what's going on, more information to come. I will talk about this moving forward in the future if there's something to talk about. I want to refrain from the taking the attention off the people who are victims of this right now into other areas. I will just say quickly, I am aware of the thought that of the mining, I think it was lithium batteries, and the idea that the government destroyed this area to cheapen the land. I've heard of it. And I don't want to say I have an opinion on it because I don't have an opinion on it. My main thing is raising awareness of what we do know actually happened, which is there's a lot of life lost, a lot of homes lost, a lot of people displaced, a lot of people in need. They need water, they need food, they need supplies. And so please, if you're somebody who has the ability to help and you feel inclined to help, don't help if just because Tony said so. I want you to help because your heart says you should help. And if that fits your description, New Hope in Greenville, the address is on the screen right now. It's in the description of this episode. Please donate to New Hope. Call them if you want. Get verification as to what exactly they need, where you should send it to, attention to whoever, whatever you'd like. But if you were to just write New Hope and the address, I believe it will show up there. And they have told me that they're taking donations. So they will be expecting hopefully a flood of supplies. I hope everybody that listens right now is able to buy a case of water and have it shipped there. Logistically, I don't know how to organize that side of it. Okay. So, maybe if I figured that out, I can set links up so that you can just hit the link. It takes you to a page where you can purchase water that will get shipped to these locations. I don't know how to do that yet. So the best I have been able to come up with so far for you is New Hope, their address, their phone number. Give them a call if you're unsure about how to go about it, but you want to help. Give them a call and see about how you can help them. I called other churches in the area, left voicemails, and I'm trusting that they'll call me back with information. But again, East Tennessee, North Carolina, devastated by the storm last week, and we're still trying to figure out how bad it is. And the more we find out, the more I'll share with y'all. And yeah. Weird Wednesday wake-up wasn't that energetic and hype. And I apologize if you tuned in for an entertaining show, but yeah. That's what I have for you today, friends. Looking at the chat right now, there's gratitude in there. So thank you very much for those who tuned in and are appreciative of what we were able to do for you for the last hour. Hang on a second. I got to pull this one up. This crazy backyard chicken man says, remember, your government sucks. It said we the people. I like it. I like it. Thank you guys for tuning in. And my phone my watch just heard me say that, and it added, I have a reminder on my watch now that says, let me see if I can show you. It says, your government sucks. That's crazy. My phone heard me and made it a reminder for me just to remind me that your government sucks. If that's not how you end a show, I don't know how you end the show, right? My phone or my watch just heard me and made a reminder for me just to remind me when I'm feeling down, when I feel like I suck, just remember, Tony, your government sucks. All right, guys, listen, next Wednesday, I hope to be back with you, God willing, and bringing you another episode of Weird Wednesday Wake Up. Not sure where we're going to go with it. Like always, I'll figure out along the way, and hopefully you show up to hang out with me next Wednesday sometime on the calendar scheduled for Wednesday, because I don't know when I'm going to be here, but I'll be here next Wednesday, hopefully. All right, guys, until then, stay safe. Take care. Oh, wait, that's the wrong one. That's the old one. What's the new one? Oh, that's right. The elites don't want you to know this, but you can convert to Christianity and live forever. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Wake up, it's Wednesday, feel the morning light. The world's a bit different, something feels just right. Coffee's brewing strong and the day's brand new. Weird Wednesday, wake up, here's a song for you. From the dawn's early rise to the evening's glow, we dance to the rhythm, let the good times flow. In the heart of the country where the wild winds blow, Weird Wednesday, wake up, let your spirit show. Weird Wednesday, wake up, start your day with a smile. Strum that banjo softly, let's enjoy for a while. Embrace the morning, let your heart take flight. Weird Wednesday, wake up, everything's alright. It's Wednesday, feel the morning light. The world's a bit different, something feels just right. Coffee's brewing strong and the day's brand new. Weird Wednesday, wake up, here's a song for you. From the dawn's early rise to the evening's glow, we dance to the rhythm, let the good times flow. In the heart of the country where the wild winds blow, Weird Wednesday, wake up, let your spirit show. Start your day with a smile. Strum that banjo softly, let's enjoy for a while. Embrace the morning, let your heart take flight. Weird Wednesday, wake up, everything's alright.
Get ready for July 4th with early savings at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on South High Street in Columbus.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.